This is a train wreck. Welcome, everybody, to this train wreck. This is the Angry GM, and I am here with the long-awaited return of the proofread aloud. I am proofreading aloud the first of the four articles that I am going to dole out here in December for your Christmas enjoyment or Hanukkah enjoyment, whatever you prefer, or any enjoyment, really. And so I am reading aloud an article today entitled Tactical Infiltration Action. I do have a live studio office here in a live studio audience here at Angry Games Studios on the Discords, and I will be doing a short Q&A portion after the main article reading. But otherwise, let's just get to it and see if I can remember how this is all done while I read to you and read, more importantly, to myself to correct its wording, this article that I wrote called Tactical Infiltration Action. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Fine. I'll do it. I'll write the damned stealth and infiltration lesson I cut from the True Game Mastery course, all right? Even though I'm basically just going to be repeating all the same shit I said in that course again. Oh, by the way, this lesson's part of my long-running and technically over and done with course on running games like a True Game Master. I forgot a hyphen in there, an M dash, I forgot. M dash alt, whoops, I'm at alt 0161, kook, nope. Why is that not working? Huh. Did I forget the M dash alt code? That's interesting. We'll just copy paste the other one. Boop, there we go. Oh, by the way, this lesson's part of my long running and technically over and done with course on running games like a True Game Master. This lesson assumes you've read all the other shit in that course. If you haven't, use the link to check out the course, and there is a link. This lesson specifically assumes that you can invite the principal character's player to act, that you can manage the declare, determine, describe cycle even when everyone is doing everything all at once, that you know the three laws of game mastering non-robotics, and that you aren't stymied by problematic actions. If you don't know what any of those phrases mean, you ain't ready for this shit. And if you do know what all those phrases mean, you ain't gonna find any major revelations in this lesson, which is why I cut this crap from the course. You might find one or two minor revelations, though. I wouldn't have written this if I didn't have some unique points to add. They just ain't enough to carry an article. The point is, if this lesson sucks, it's your fault for demanding it. Resolving sneaking and skulking like a true game master. Welcome back, dumbasses. You thought this was over, didn't you? That's because it was, but you wouldn't leave, so here we go again. The topic du jour of the day is stealth and infiltration. I'm going to show you how true game masters use all their true game mastery skills to resolve things when characters sneak around during encounters and when parties sneak around during scenes. Because there's no such thing as a stealth encounter, right? Frankly, I think you can probably handle this stealth and infiltration shit with everything I've already taught you. But if you don't feel like you can, it probably starts from your not really understanding stealth and sneaking, or perception and searching. So let's start there, huh? Stealth ain't sneaking. I want to start by slamming a hard-ass wall between sneaking and stealth. Stealth is a skill. Or a character trait, something like that. At least as far as true game masters care to understand it. It's all the related skills, abilities, and training that make a character good at sneaking around. Most systems these days cram all that shit into one skill, called stealth, but it need not be that way. Sneaking is an action. It's an attempt to avoid notice or act without drawing attention. It's what you do to get past the lookout unnoticed, or to close position to the lookout to stab him before he can defend himself. And the reason my voice did that is because I actually mimed stabbing my hand, as I said stabbing, because, well, it's the Italian in me. The point is, stealth ain't a thing you do. It's not even a way you do a thing. Stealth is a bonus you get if you do things a certain way and your character has the right background skills. As a game master, you're always trying to parse your players' actions into shit like, I attempt to get through the door without the lookout noticing. I forgot the word "the" in there. I attempt to get through the door without the lookout noticing. Or, I attempt to get close enough to stab the guard without his noticing. Or, I attempt to move down the hallway without being heard by the guards behind the door. Am I being needlessly pedantic here? No, I'm never needlessly pedantic. I engage only in necessary pedantry. And with this stealth shit, all the pedantry is necessary. Why? Because most gamers, players and game masters alike, treat stealth like a button. You push the button, and pushing the button is an action, and then your character is surrounded by a cloaking field and can act with impunity. Characters do not operate in either normal mode or stealth mode. Characters take actions, and once you understand that shit, and once the players understand it, all this stealth crap becomes way easier to handle. Hiding in plain sight. Treating stealth like a mode short-circuits the declare, determine, describe cycle. And when that happens, otherwise excellent true game masters skip important parts of the whole action adjudication thing. Consider, for instance, a character sneaking past a lookout. If you just let the player roll stealth to stealth past the guard, have you stopped to consider whether the action is even possible? If there's a lookout on a tower watching an open courtyard, no amount of stealth is going to get a character through that space unseen. For a player to sneak across a space, any space, they need a plan. I dart from shrub to shrub whenever the guard's looking away, for example, assuming there are shrubs, or I throw a rock to draw the guard's attention to that far corner and then dash quick-like until I'm directly under the watchtower where he can't see me. Stealth, the trait or skill or stat, doesn't replace gameplay. Stealthy characters get bonuses on sneaky actions, but I just rammed four words that were all nearby each other into one giant word. So we're going to try that again. Stealth, the trait or skill or stat, doesn't replace gameplay. Stealthy characters get bonuses on sneaky actions, but the players have to declare those actions. And that's true even in stealth-based video games. Even if there's a crouch toggle or a sneak button to hold, you still gotta pick your path, move from cover to cover, watch the patrols, and all that shit. Tabletop role-playing games can't give you timing and execution challenges, but they can demand you explain where you'd move, how you'd know when to move, and how you'd create opportunities to move if the patrols don't give you any. And now, a sidebar called Move Silently and Hide in Shadows. Gamers of a certain age, like me, remember when stealth wasn't just one skill. A long, long time ago in the early days of gaming, thieves had two different stealthy skills. One let them move without being heard, and one let them hunker down without being seen. And while that might seem like clunky, inelegant minutiae, it had two important follow-ons. First, it focused players on actions rather than toggling modes. Moving silently was an action. Hiding in shadows was an action. There was none of this stealth mode bullshit. Second, it emphasized how movement and the environment affected your ability to sneak. Going unheard only mattered when you were moving. Going unseen only worked when you had something to conceal you, like darkness. Moreover, it implied strongly that you didn't need a role to hide behind an actual physical obstruction that could totally conceal you. If there was literally no line of sight at all, and if you stayed still, no role was necessary. Of course, an object that was just barely enough to conceal you, like a bush or a low wall or a pillar, different story. Back to the article. Awareness and alertness. The other side of the sneaky coin is noticing sneaks. You can't talk about stealth and infiltration without talking about perception. And most gamers have an equally effed up understanding of perception. Now, I've talked extensively about perception already in this series. First, I've told you, repeatedly, that being aware of your surroundings isn't an action. That's why passive perception, or secret behind scene, that's why passive perception, or secret behind the screen spot and listen checks, exists. Whenever you're awake and alert, which in dangerous worlds of fantasy adventure are usually synonymous, there's a good chance, Whenever you're awake and alert, which in the dangerous world, why did I make that plural? Why am I talking about all the worlds of fantasy adventure instead of just the world of fantasy adventure? I need a drink. Oh, this congestion's making it difficult. I didn't realize I was congested. Okay. Now, I've talked extensively about perception already in this series. First, I've told you, repeatedly, that being aware of your surroundings isn't an action. That's why passive perception, or secret behind the screen spot and listen checks, exists. Whenever you're awake and alert, which in the dangerous world of fantasy adventure are usually synonymous, there's a good chance anything worth noting is going to catch your attention. Second, I've told you repeatedly that noticing a sensory detail ain't the same as knowing everything about everything. You don't spot a secret door, you notice a seam in the brickwork, or you notice your torch's flame is dancing in an unfelt breeze, or some shit like that. You don't know there's a goblin sneaking up on you, you hear a rustling in the brush nearby. When the players successfully notice something, it should lead to more gameplay, interaction, and investigation, not less. Most of the time, a successful notice or awareness check should raise more questions than it answers. And now a sidebar. Sidebar. Why does that suddenly seem like it's not the correct word for this? Did my brain just break? It's called a sidebar, right? Right? Oh my gosh. What have I called it before? My brain did just break. This is it. I just had a brain blowout. And now a sidebar. Sidebar. Why does that just suddenly not sound like the right word? And now I'm ruining the whole recording. Okay. I don't know. Okay. And now a sidebar, which I call I blame video games. And I call a sidebar, apparently. Which, have I always called it that? Is that the correct word for it? Did some brain cells just die? Am I broken? Please help. I blame video games. I need a moment. I am so sorry. This is the worst. This is what you people missed? What is wrong with you? I blame video games. I've made no secret of my love for video games. I've heaped praise on the medium for how it handles most game design issues better than most tabletop role-playing games. And I've taken a lot of shit from elitist game masters who think their hobby is so much better than video games and therefore refuse to learn anything from them. Those game masters are fuckwits. This stealth shit, though? Video games have really screwed up gamers' understanding of sneaking and infiltration. I mean, the whole idea of buttons that drop you into stealth mode, that's totally something gamers picked up from Solid Snake and Barcode 47 and Sekiro Tsushima. That said, I'm not sure I can really blame video games here. As I noted in the text, you still have to make a lot of decisions while you're holding the crouch button, and while glowing alertness meters and shockwave noisiness indicators are definitely not good designs for tabletop role-playing games, they do demonstrate the importance of telegraphing awareness and giving players time to react. So, I don't really blame video games, I blame you for sucking at learning from them. Now back to the article, with a heading I call alertness, awareness, and investigatingness. Investigating. Sure, I can say investigatingness right, but then I'll just cram like 17 words together and forget the word sidebar. Holy crap. Again, you people missed this. Okay. Alertness, awareness, and investigatingness. You've probably noticed I keep using words like alert and aware, and even distinguishing awareness checks, and you might be wondering if I've got some kind of secret game mechanical thing going. True game masters don't think of perception in binary terms. There are levels of awareness and perception, and that's true on both sides of the screen. Some folks, Runehammer and Matt Colville particularly, have presented systems for handling this crap. Me? I don't think a system's necessary. Mechanical systems are for mere game executors, like Runehammer and Matt Colville. Oh my god, that's like a... I didn't realize that there was like this hidden little like slap at both of them. Like, yeah, they're not true game masters like me. That said, I've been following... Never mind. Mechanical systems are for mere game executors. That said, like most true game masters, I distinguish between inattentive or relaxed characters and alert characters. A guard on duty is alert. A bunch of guards dicing and drinking in the barracks? They're inattentive. Player characters taking a watch rotation at camp or acting as a lookout during travel? They're alert. Navigators and foragers? They're inattentive. Sleepers are... I know I'm opening myself up for shit there. I'm just... Here, this is it. We're going to put money on the comment. Let's see if someone who's not listening to this right now makes the comment that obviously a forager is extremely alert because they have to be paying attention to their surroundings to notice, the things that they're foraging for, which doesn't realize the difference between like focused attention and general alertness. So, you know, someone's going to post that comment and then I will have the answer and then they will point out that that's not how people work. And then I will point out that may not be how you work, but that is how human people work. Anyway, navigators and foragers, they're inattentive. Sleepers are very, very inattentive. And I'll often judge in a vague and gut-feely kind of way how alert or how inattentive a character is. Alertness, though, is the default state. When a character's alert, they have the normal chance to notice anything around them. That's when you use unmodified passive perception, for example, in Dungeons and Dragons. Inattentive characters are less likely to notice what's going on around them. Inattentive characters are less likely to notice things going on around them. An aware character knows or suspects something is probably present, but has no details. When you hear a rustling in the bushes, spot an unusual floor tile, notice an unfelt breeze disturbing your torch, or see a lumpy shape behind a curtain, you're aware. To get any more details about whatever it is, you've got to interact with the world, move closer to the bushes, or call out or kneel down and clean the dust and grime from around the floor tile, shit like that. Without this understanding of perception, you can't handle sneaking and stealth, especially not if you want to run an extended infiltration scene. Okay. I don't like this placement of, you know what? I have to fix this and switch two sidebars around because I have one sidebar that can sit anywhere and another sidebar that definitely must sit after this upcoming section. And I'm still not entirely sure they're called sidebars anymore. This is one of those things where you say a word too much and all of a sudden it just stops feeling right. But anyway, so I'm just doing this little thing. Because otherwise, yeah, okay. So that sidebar can go anywhere. This sidebar has to follow this section, which means now we're going to interrupt for a sidebar called But My Armor. But My Armor. Whenever I talk about stealth, I'll have someone whining that the biggest problem with stealth scenes is that only characters good at stealth get to play. Clumsy characters, and especially armored characters, wreck them, so there's no point in trying to sneak. That ain't a bug, kid. That's a feature. Obviously, there must be a good reason to choose infiltration over cutting a bloody swath through your enemy's stronghold. Because most parties aren't good at stealth, but they are good at cutting bloody swaths. But assuming infiltration is the better or only choice, how the party overcomes its clumsy and armored obstacles is part of the game. Basically, the party's got to pick the risk to take or the price to pay for being sneaky. The sneaks can go it alone and leave the armored toughs behind, but if they get caught, they're dead. The toughs can leave their armor behind, but if a fight does break out, they're fighting without armor. Or the toughs can keep their armor and hope the penalties don't screw them too much, or that the party can overcome any individual stealth fails. Adventuring is at its best when characters have to do shit they're not good at, or come up with ways to mitigate their weaknesses, or do some quick-thinking damage control to contain a failure before it ruins a mission. And you're not doing the game any favors by covering that shit up with bullshit mechanics like group checks. Anyway, and now back to the article and the heading called Awareness at a Distance. But first, I need some more water. Wow. Sorry. Do you know what else really screws with a game master's ability to handle this stealth scrap? This stealth crap? It's that everything in role-playing games happens too damned close to the players. Game masters don't tell players what they can hear or see way down the hall or down the street or across the valley. Player characters can basically only see shit that's close enough to spit on. At that point, it's impossible to usefully skulk around. Consider again the hallway with the guards' barracks opening on it. If the players don't know there's a bunch of off-duty guards beyond the doorway until they're standing in it, there's no sneaking past without alerting the guards. Hell, there's no sneaking up to the door to see what's inside, or at least sending the rogue to investigate. And most of this is down to a bizarre-ass problem where people, not game masters, not gamers, just people in general, don't know the limits of their own senses. At what distance, for example, can you generally recognize someone you know? At what distance can you tell the difference between a mannequin and a human person? At what distance can you spot a human or an animate mannequin moving against the landscape? And how far does the sound of your voice carry? Older editions of Dungeons & Dragons, and older role-playing games in general, used to tell game masters shit like this. The AD&D 2E rulebooks are absolutely fantastic about it. I still use AD&D 2E's rules of thumb for sight distance to this day. Assuming clear conditions and an open line of sight, you can spot a person-sized thing 2,500 feet away. You can't make out any details at that distance, you just know there's something there and it's people-sized. And if the thing is moving, you can spot its movement up to a mile away, or 5,000 feet if you prefer. At 1,500 feet, you can make out gross features, shape, size, and color. You can probably tell a human from an orc or a mannequin. At 300 feet, you can see enough details to identify specific individuals, and you can make out things like coats of arms and uniforms and equipment and the like, and major equipment, and armor and large weapons and armor and large weapons and the like. Otherwise, people are going to say you can see a backpack or a belt pouch because people are idiots. At 300 feet, you can see enough details to identify specific individuals, and you can make out things like coats of arms and uniforms and armor and large weapons and the like. At 30 feet, you can see every tiny detail, including facial cues and actions. D&D 3.5 had great DC setting tables to determine how far sound might carry, and from them I distilled the rules of thumb I follow to this day. In otherwise quiet conditions, you can hear the sounds of combat from 500 feet away, and the sounds of normal conversation from 250 feet away. You can't reliably hear what's being said at a distance greater than 100 feet, though. An armored person's movements are audible from 150 feet away, assuming they're moving at a reasonable pace and trying not to make noise, and an unarmored person's movements are audible from 100 feet away. At 30 feet, you can hold a loud, almost shouted back and forth, but normal conversation needs to happen within about 10 or 20 feet. Those distances, They're basically the human maximums, or good enough for pretend elf purposes. They're the farthest ranges at which I'd consider checking for awareness, and you should keep them in your head. And now a sidebar that is related to and must therefore have followed that section called sucking at distance. It's kind of bonkers that people don't know how far their eyes and ears work, isn't it? But you know what's even more bonkers? The fact that people have no idea how far anything is. But it's true, people suck at judging distance. Grab a random person on the street, but don't actually grab them, and say, hey, rando, how far is it to that street lamp? How far away is that woman? What about that striped awning way down the street? How far to that? Can you judge distance? I said you can make out almost every detail about a person at 30 feet. How far is 30 feet? Do you know? It's worth practicing your distance judgment. Take a friend to the local high school football field and stand on opposing goal lines. Your friend is 300 feet away. That's the range at which I said you can recognize a person but can't read facial expressions or notice small details. Seem right? Now stand across the street from your friend. Most American residential streets are around 30 feet wide. At that distance, you can read facial cues and see hand gestures and shout back and forth, but you can't have a normal conversation. And then back to the article and the heading, The Emergent Cat and Mouse Game. Here's the part where I pull all this shit together for you. Except I can't, because it doesn't work that way. It's like this. If you take everything I already taught you about running a game like a true game master, and you combine it with the crap about stealth and sneaking and perception and awareness I over-explained above, and which I previously explained as part of my speech on problematic actions, you'll get the secret sauce that makes stealth scenes work. That sauce is called dynamism. Good-feeling stealth moments in infiltration scenes, whether the players are doing the hiding or the seeking, are a back-and-forth game of, this is what you know, now how do you react? Take the goblins sneaking up on the party's camp. Most mere game executors will roll a dexterity stealth check for the goblin. If it fails, they'll drop the goblin on the map and say, there's a goblin, roll initiative. If it succeeds, they'll give the goblin a surprise round. True game masters, though, they know the lookout might become aware of the goblin while it's still 100 feet away. The lookout won't know it's a goblin, though. They'll just hear a sound. What do you do? What does the lookout do? Does the goblin see what the lookout does? What does the goblin do? If the lookout starts approaching the goblin, does the goblin freeze in place and hope it isn't seen? Does it retreat? Does it ready its little bow for a sniper shot? Does the lookout see what the goblin is doing? Or does the rustling just stop? What does the lookout do now? And so on and so forth. It's all down to resolving one action after another. It's the same when the party infiltrates Splinter Skull Fortress. The players know that if the alarm goes up, the Hobgoblin army will overwhelm them, but they have to rescue the prisoner. So what do when they have to cross the guarded courtyard? Or when they hear the patrol coming up the hall a few hundred feet away? Or when they have to pass the barracks door? And what happens if the party screws up? Can they silence the guards before the alarm goes up? If an alarm goes out, can they get far enough? I missed a word. I was doing good too. Can they silence the guards before the alarm goes up? If an alarm goes out, can they get far enough away fast enough to hide somewhere? Where do they hide? And what do they do when someone comes nosing around their hiding place? This is emergent gameplay at its best. These scenes don't arise from the mechanics and how you use them. They arise from the gameplay dynamic. They arise from a game master properly resolving one action after another and giving just enough information each time. In short, if you run your game like a true game master, stealth scenes kind of work themselves out. Which is precisely what I told you. You know enough to run a stealth scene already, I said when I decided to cut this lesson. Remember? So let me ask you something, dumbasses. Did any of you even fucking try to run an infiltration scene before you pissed and moaned about how I didn't teach you enough to do it right? Yeah, I didn't think so.